Blog Talk Radio.
When you want to know the news, they got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing going.
It's a Hooper Thang.
Nobody does it like you do.
It's a Hooper
Thang. Listen in and we can prove it. It's all.
Welcome back to Hooper Thing Radio, a modern-day faith-based show. Today's show, we'll be talking about power struggles between men and women. Before we get started, let's introduce our co-host. I'm one of your three hosts. My name is Vivian, a.k.a. The Mogul. I stay in Dallas, Texas. I stay there. I live in Dallas, Texas. My other co-hosts are Jamal, a.k.a. the Hardworking Prankster. He lives in Monroe, Ohio. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on? Good to be back.
Good to be back. Good to hear that voice. Back from season one and two, taking Duran's place tonight. Welcome, one of Hooper Thing Radio's originals co-hosts, Lisa, a.k.a. Supermom, who lives in Centerville, Ohio. Yo, yo, Lisa.
Poppin'.
I'm about to say, where's she at? How you doing, Lisa?
Come on, Lisa.
Put that
hey, all is well. All is well.
Good. Okay. Well, we're excited about today's show. We want our listeners to visit our new website, www.hooperthingradio.com. Click on the U-Talk tab to post live comments during the show or to take the poll of the week. Remember to like us on Facebook and Instagram. Our call-in number is 347-324-5098. If you like the music on today's show, go to hooperthingradio.com if you want more information about it. So, let's get straight to it. What's been going on with you, Lisa, since the last season? We've missed you.
Have been enjoying the family. So, then we took the family to Hawaii, and we had a blast. But anyway, while I was in Hawaii, I learned of a new passion, and that is horseback riding.
Wow. Okay.
Oh,
like,
wow,
you know,
really?
Clydesdale, saddle them up like a horse or a carousel at the fair. What kind of horse you riding?
Right, like a little bigger than a rocking horse. No, I'm just playing. So it's a big horse.
You got a broom. You got a mop.
Exactly. With a horse head on it. No.
Riding around with it.
So what I've been riding is called a Morgan and a American Saddlebred. So that's the breed that I ride. But
okay.
You would think that I was a little pro out there. But that's what I've been doing since last season, getting into my new sport.
Nice.
Now,
so, yep.
Now, are those horses considered like, you know, are those like your Chevy version or those like your Cadillac horses? Like, those are like that middle grade? Because I know you like fine quality things and stuff like that. So those
right.
Like
right. You know,
horses.
Feedback.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So,
it
let me explain.
No little pony out the shed.
Yeah, they're like Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
She got Clydesdale. What?
No. When you first start out, they don't put you on the Cadillac. They put you on the Chevy Cavalier because
okay,
they want to make
okay.
sure that you can handle the ride, right? You can't have too much
right.
horsepower. So they put you in the Chevy Cavalier, make sure you can handle it, and then you move up. Every time you learn
okay.
a new skill and they can appreciate that you know what you're doing, then it has a whole lot of horsepower.
Okay.
So maybe next
okay.
time I'll be in something a little faster and a little bigger, but I am enjoying it, loving it. I feel one with the horse. Okay.
Really?
No, I'm just playing. But yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what brings you the most joy in during the process? What are you, what, like, what does it for you?
One, I love the animal. So I didn't realize how much I love the animal. So I do love, you know, just its power. It's so big, the muscles. You know, I just like a horse. And I like that they're so smart. You wouldn't think that the horses are as smart as they are. So, one, I like the animal. And then, two, I like that I'm, you know, I'm kind of little, so I can control this big old animal. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So the more I learn, it listens to me. Turn left.
Okay.
And it's moving right when I tell it to. So I just feel in a whole lot of control.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, now I have a little tidbit to share. I took a class on psychology, and one of the things that came up during this little psychological test was you had to say how you felt about horses. So the way you feel about horses is your relationship towards how you feel about men. So that's how you see men.
Wow.
I know that's how you see your husband.
You
I know that's how you view him, as this regal, you know, powerful, and you like to sometimes feel like you kind of in control because he's so powerful.
Yes.
That's amazing that you feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That makes sense now.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, somebody's
like
on
that.
Fire this week.
Dr.
Vivian.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. So,
I need a prognosis.
I got you. Jamal, tell me this. How do you feel about flying seagulls?
Flying seagulls? Scavengers?
Okay. When the first thing you think about, if seagulls are flying in the sky and you see them, what's the first thing that kind of like comes to your mind?
Oh, there go another white bird.
No, that's it. That's how you feel about women. That's how you feel about women.
Hey, no. Ladies, I do not feel like that about you at all. These tests are not 100% accurate. That is not how I feel.
So
I think you guys are. You know what? I think you're
on the I didn't get the certification. I didn't get the certification or the degree, so don't take this too literally.
Okay, she went to Walmart
and
took the questionnaire.
Okay,
right, no,
as
long as she passed the class.
Right.
Oh, hold up. This is one of those, if you answer this, you're Superwoman. If you answer it this way, you're Wonder Woman. Really?
Okay. No, for real.
She baited us.
Yeah.
Okay. So for real. Okay. So anyway, well, that's exciting, Lisa. We're so glad to have you back. I'm glad to be able to co-host with you. I wasn't able to co-host with you. I just came on for an interview. Jamal, I know he's looking forward to it as well. Right.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
I guess she aight. No. All right.
Yeah, she aight. She cool.
She aight. Okay. Well, that's cool. So I have. Over the last couple of weeks, I've got a high school counselor that was a counselor when I was in high school, but not my counselor, ended up being a good girlfriend of mine years later through a mutual friend. Nevertheless, she's retired and she's moving to Dallas, and I'm kind of like her concierge. She's coming back to town for the second visit, and she's like a breath of fresh air. She stayed with us. The kids are like looking at her like an auntie/grandma, because they are just in love with the vibe that she brings. And so she's looking to move probably about 10 minutes away from us. So that's very inspiring, invigorating, and fulfilling to have like another extension of our family here, so to speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what's going on
with
me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's helping
her out like that.
Yeah. To whom much is given, much is required. And I was asking the Lord, I want to be able to serve. I want to serve. I don't want to be so much in the receiving end. So I want to serve. And that's what one of the first things that came up. So it's a good feeling.
Wow.
God
that's
bless
awesome.
You.
Thank you, Jamal. You're rubbing off on me, Booski.
No problem, anytime. Well,
what you been up to?
I've been packing. And it's like it's a never end. And I have a rant, but I'm not going to say it yet because it ties in with the packing. But I didn't know I had that much stuff, and I'm literally throwing stuff away, and I still have stuff, and I'm going to go crazy. So, y'all, please pray for me that I get this over with because I need to be done by the 28th.
You know what? I pray for you. I think we got something for you. It's time to check in with our ordained assistant pastor at St. John AME Columbus, Ohio, This is Minister Paula Harris to receive the Word of the Week, a.k.a. What's the Word? All right, everybody. You know what that sound is. Let's check in with Minister Paula to get the Word of the Week. So grab a seat, open your Bible app, and let's receive the Word of the Week.
Sin, but rather you no longer chase after sin. Despite this fact, sin still chases each and every one of us. People who have received Christ and follow him are the prime targets of the devil's work. He still comes after you and chases us right into God's churches. And even when Jesus offers complete healing, as we speak of often, people inside the church are still sometimes very ill. Now, that in itself is not a bad thing, because the church is in many ways like a hospital. What is the primary purpose of a hospital? Put simply, to heal the sick and the injured and make them get better. Therefore, the most important feature of the hospital is not the attractiveness of the building or the college degrees held by the staff or the large numbers of high-tech equipment that's in the hospital. The true measure of a hospital is the ability to make hurting people better. If a hospital doesn't do that, everything else is a waste of time. Now, it seems to me that there's a lot of time trying to make hospitals look fancy and inviting. But I don't know about you. I don't want to go to a hospital for fun and games and to admire the architecture. I want to go so I get the feeling better. That's what the church is all about. Every one of us who goes to the hospital has a question. Can you tell me what's wrong and fix what's wrong? That's the same way with the church. It is called to open its door to people who are sick with sin, addictions, burdens, and hurts. All of us realize at some time in our lives that we need a good fix. We need to go and get cleaned up. We need to go and get well, because if you don't realize it, all of us are sick from time to time. And that's an important lesson from our readings in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We are not the doctors ourselves. Jesus alone is the great physician, and we must remember that. Special care must be taken for each and every one of us. So if you're sick today, I ask you to just go to the hospital. Not the hospital as we know it of today, but go to somebody's church and receive a real good blessing, so that whatever ails you, it will help. God bless you, and you have a blessed week.
Thank you, Minister Paula.
Thanks, Minister Paula.
What a great word.
All the time.
Okay. What I got from that is it's just when you go to church, you really need to focus. You know, you're not coming to wear like the latest and the greatest outfit or anything like that. You really want to come and give God the praise first and foremost. Because I see a lot of times, and I talk about me first, and this is what I do. I'll walk in God's house and not speak. And I have to check myself on that from time to time, because it's one of the things I think it blocks me from receiving more blessings. And it's also just like if a person was coming in, they're worried about the outfit or clothes or different things and stuff like that. You put that aside, because you come to basically your church is your hospital. You come to get healed from your everyday sickness, your attitude sickness, your work sickness. Everybody drains you, your kid's sickness. And you go to church and you want to be healed and you want to get rid of that sickness so you can face it again. Sunday is actually the beginning of the week, so we should start it on the right way and not the wrong way. Thank you, Mr. Paula.
Thank you, Brother Jamal.
That's right. Brother Jamal has the place.
Right.
That was a blessing, and it is something to remember that is the church is for the sick. I mean, it's where you go to get fueled. It's where you go to get fed. It's where you go to fellowship and feel that kindred spirit because you're amongst other believers. And that's a great word because it can get so caught up in everything else that's not what it's about. It's about healing, feeding, equipping, you know, and getting us ready for what's ahead. So, yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Minister Paula. That was it was a good word for me in particular because, like, my home church is real small. You know, we don't have the best choir. We don't have the best church, you know, kids ministry. But the word, it is such a gift and a blessing to us because the pastors, they know that word and they teach that word. And so when we go there, I feel like, okay, yep, I'm filled. You know, if we use the doctor's analogy, I feel like, you know, the surgery went well. I leave there feeling, you know, great. So I like what she said. You don't go to the hospital looking for the, you know, looking at the hospital facility. Yeah, that plays a role. But at the end of the day, you want that doctor doing what they're paid to do and skilled to do so that you can walk out of that hospital. So I like that word. I mean, it just helps me with, like, okay, how can I make my church better? How can I make the facility? But don't leave it because of the facility. If you're being healed and filled with the Holy Spirit and God, keep going. Because at the end of the day, you just want to be, you know, well, right?
Right.
So thanks, Minister Paula. Thank you.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
All right, question of the week is from our Facebook page. We got, can men and women truly be treated equally in all aspects? Well, I think that I'm like the only male on the show because I feel like it really, you set me up. I am set up. Like, I could have been in the middle. I could have been at the end. But, okay, well, I'm going to throw this out there. Please don't shoot me. Yes. And no, now there is your modern day woman who is basically taking care of everything that the men would. But there's a new wave that a lot of people don't speak about, and it's a very gray area in which where a lot of guys, a lot of men nowadays have been raised by their single mother who are now fathers who was actually in their kids' lives doing what a man's supposed to do because they don't want to see that mother or their child to be without. So there is a role for the man and there is a role for the woman. Now, I'm going to leave it at that because I don't have nothing else. Because I was set up.
That was very politically correct. That was like, don't slash my tires when I get off this radio show.
Exactly.
That was awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't even have anything to say in rebuttal. I mean, I think, you know, it's just what you said. I agree. How about that? Jamal, 2 points for Jamal. Alley-oop. Okay. Lisa, what you got?
All right. So can men and women truly be treated equally in all aspects? I think we can. That's not the question. Are we? You know what I mean? So as a society, Do I believe that men and women are treated equally? I think we can. I don't think we're there yet as a society and as a whole, though. I think we're on our way, you know, maybe when we have a female president or, you know, even in my career field, I'm starting to see more and more women, you know, like executive level. Still like 2 out of 20, but it's still I'm seeing 2, you know, whereas before we didn't see them. So I think women we're coming along, but I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
You think we are as a society? You think society believes that do they treat us equally?
I think society. Yeah. Go ahead, Jamal.
Go ahead, Viv.
I think society.
One of y'all, come on.
I do. I mean, it just depends on, I mean, everywhere you go, when you get to the executive level, the board of directors and stuff like that, you'll see maybe one woman and 10 men. If you know, you may see a woman. So I don't know if that's because society didn't open the door to allow a woman in, or if women just became interested in trying to get there. I don't, from a personal perspective, my family life weighs so much more heavily than my career life. So I don't want the expectations of being on that 1 in 10 on the you know, the picture up on the wall, because I don't want my cell phone ringing 24/7 for the company, because I'm only that accessible for my family. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's society that's not allowing it, or, you know, women just not coming in droves to it. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not just leaning.
I'm not being
Mary. Per se.
No, I'm not being Mary.
Yeah.
Jack. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there for you real quick. I'm going to come with something, all right?
Okay.
Okay. So in society, yes, men dominate. There's no question about it. Yes, we do. But in the law's eye, I think the laws are favored more towards women than they are men. Like,
I think
they're like,
okay,
more, you guys can do more. You guys can do more than we can and get away with it. You see what I'm saying?
Like,
they give you guys,
that.
Like, okay, well, she's a mom. She you know, she has all these different things. It's like they give y'all prescription drugs just because you have kids and you're tired. It's like the women back in the day didn't, and they give it to you now. And I said they give mothers nowadays, like, prescription drugs just because they have multiple kids and they're tired. I mean, that's like, there's so many things and incentives that they give you, and, like, the laws, I said, they catered around you. Like, if you go into, I know this is kind of branching out, but this, like, if you go into, like, child support or, you know, or divorce or anything like that, it's like, it's geared towards the woman than it is the man.
Now, I do believe that certain rules and certain laws are a little more lenient towards women. I don't know if they're designed that way, or if they just feel like we're the lesser or the weaker gender, you know. So, they may give us excuses. Okay, that's okay. Yeah, you need to stay home because of this. You know, you need to. So, I believe that. But I still think we're the bomb, and we are better than men, and we can do so much more than men, and we can juggle so many things. So we do. We probably do need prescription drugs. No, I'm just playing. Okay.
Crazy. Okay. We got bills to pay.
See what
for,
I'm talking about? Yes, we do. All righty. If you want to comment or chat or anything going, please visit us on our website at www.hooperthingradio.com, or click on the UTalk tab to post live during the show. We are taking the polls of the week, and call into our number at 347-324-5098. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram. And then don't forget to like us on like the music on today's show, HooperThingRadio.com. If you want more information about it, stay tuned, because the next segment is coming up. It's Single Life versus Married Life.
Jamal, I think we have a caller on the line.
Oh, do we?
I think we do. Do we have a caller on the line? Kathy from Ohio? Kathy, are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can now.
Yes, we can.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, and you?
I'm doing wonderful. I wanted to comment. I was, like, raising my hand in class, like, ooh, choose me. about the are men and women equal in America or in society? And one of the things that I guess I just we're not treated equal, and I think that it's a value issue. I don't think it's an equality issue. I think it's a value issue. It's does society value women the same as they value men? I'll be the first one to say I do not want to be equal to a man. I want him to be the leader. However,
right.
whatever it is that women bring to the table, the value, it needs to be valued. And when you value what each sex brings to the table, then you can see where you can pay them equally, you can treat them equally. But it's a value issue. And I just think until we're valued in the workplace, at home, if you're a stay-at-home mom, until you recognize the value, then you won't get the pay. So that's my comment.
I think everybody loves that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. We answered the.
Thank you, Kathy.
I'll be right
over the classroom clap.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great.
Kathy
had great.
Kids in so class today.
That's exactly. I come from the same school that Kathy came from. I come from the same school of thought. I'm not going to bring what you bring, but what I bring holds equal value. I love that, Kathy.
Yes,
thank
the
you.
Value piece. Mm-hmm.
Balance.
Okay.
It's all about
thank
balance.
You. Do we have another caller? Is Brandy on the line?
Hello.
Hello, Brandy.
Yes, I'm on the line. Well, I was actually going to pretty much say what Kathy had just said. I think that women aren't considered equal. I think more so because of gender roles. You know, women are considered to be nurturers, and men are supposed to go out and propagate. It's the value that they place on us women. We say we're at home mothers, say we don't even work. We're there. Number one, we carry your children for 9, 10 months. We have them. We sit at
Amen.
Home. And we take care of your children. If they act up in school, if they're sick, then we go get them and we do everything for the children that we had for you. And that's not really value. That's like, she's being taken care of. She's being kept. It's not a big deal. So I don't think that we'll be seen equally for a very long time. Even with presidency, they want to elect a female president. If they elected a black man before they elected, before the woman even got out of primary. So, you know, I mean, no, I don't see it. I think that, like Kathy said, it's value. It's the value that's placed on us women. I'm not as strong as a man. I will never be.
Uh-huh.
I think that a man should provide and protect, but I can, if he doesn't make enough to, you know, meet the requirements for the bills and everything, then I'll get a job and I'll help him and we'll make sure everything is okay. But the value placed on my job and what I do is not the same as what he does. So
that's
you know,
true.
I just think it happening for a long time. And I think that's just how it's been. I guess we could fight harder, but we've been fighting for so long. Still not been changed. So,
yeah.
It's a battle. It really is.
Maybe one day, you know what, with strong women like you and Kathy out there voicing the guys' opinion and to keep striving that, I think maybe then one day we could see a change in that whole aspect. Because as a married man, I had a chance to actually got hurt. And I stayed home and I watched my eldest. And doing that, I learned a new appreciation because I was basically the mom for about 6 to 7 months. I was at home. Now, I brought in income, but it wasn't as much as my wife brought in. But at the same time, I got a new appreciation for a woman because, one, I had to sit there and nurture our daughter. I had to change the diaper. I had to do the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get up And I was just like, man, when is her mama going to be home? And then I just stretched out back on it like, when is he going to be home?
If like, I want to get a job.
I would come push the baby on her. It's like, no, don't touch me. Right, wait a minute. Give me a minute. And that's the same thing I do to her. So I learned appreciation in that. So not everybody did the same thing, but guys who's been laid off can relate to that if they have kids and they are there.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you, Brandy and Cassie. Yeah.
Wait, we got to cook up Brandy.
Inspiration.
Too.
Yay!
She made some kids excited.
Yay. Okay, Jamal.
All righty. Our next segment is Married, Single, Divorce. And basically, also with this segment, and I didn't see that because I didn't have it in my outline, is the power struggle that you would have back and forth with 22. And so one of the power struggles that you would have, that I have as a man and being married, is communication. I had to learn how to be a better communicator. Let's see. I would say really, I would say like the communication, and two, like knowing your role, because everybody likes to try to play that all-around American position. Stop. This ain't football. This ain't, you ain't going to be in the major league. You're not about to sign an NFL contract. This is real life. And you have to know
right.
when to pick your battles and when not to, and knowing when to come together and be one. Because a house divided will fall. Listen, once you have one kid, you outweigh them. I mean, but when you have two, there you are evenly matched. And if y'all don't come together,
what about when you have three?
And don't get past it.
Right.
Hey, I'm praying for you, Supermom. I really am, because
three ain't no joke. Okay?
Yeah, three is like odd man out. You always juggling. Something's always in the air. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from a divorce perspective, with power struggles in the family, I'm going to speak specifically to ex-husbands and ex-wives involving children. So when children are involved, parents can find themselves battling for favor or authority. Should mom or dad have the final say on granting permission or enforcing discipline? In most cases, both parents feel their position is valid. So where's the middle ground, or who gets to be the decision maker if there are opposing views? So in my experience, it's in the best interest of the family to operate from a place of love and non-judgment. When it comes to marriages and it's a divorce and it's nasty and it's ugly, I get it. But at the end of the day, the marriage didn't work and it's okay. Do the work and evolve past it. No one is to blame, or both are to blame. But at the end of the day, it's really no one is to blame. And it is what's key is that ultimately everyone is operating at their level of awareness. So whatever he did wrong, he was only operating at his level of awareness. Whatever she did wrong is whatever at her level of awareness at that time. So who are we to judge somebody? So my ex and I evolved to the place where we respect each other, and it took us 3 years to evolve to that space. But when you brought three children into the world and have a history and memories, the natural space to operate in is as a family. So, and as a family with redefined roles, boundaries, and expectations. So at the end of the day, just like on the new hit TV show Empire, it's in the best interest for Cookie and Lucius to have each other's back. When my ex and I are in our zone, our team, I feel like, is unstoppable. The kids can't play both sides to the middle. They know, hey, okay, we can't play mommy against daddy. We better just all do what we're supposed to do so we don't get our, you know, butt spanked or punishment or technology taken or whatever the punishment is of the decade. But as an ex, it's all about respecting each other and our adult lives, the loyalty to the children, taking time or taking the family legacy to the next level. And the struggle isn't for power within the family. It's for the power to elevate the family.
Mhm. Wow. And that's awesome that you all are at that place, you know, that you all can move past whatever the differences are to make sure that the kids don't suffer, you know, because it's easy to be selfish. It's human nature to be selfish. You did me wrong. I did you wrong. I hate you. You hate me. let this be bitter. And then,
everybody
want to
be the victim.
It's yes, and that's very easy. That's human nature. So you have to move. So I commend you all. I mean, I commend you because you're my cousin, but I commend him too because it takes two. You know,
it takes two to move past
that selfish nature.
Somebody has to wave
the
white flag.
It's not about me. I'm an adult. I've lived. Mm-hmm. I still have some living to do, but this is about these kids. And so once you do it, and I loved this because as a married couple, you deal with this. You know what I'm saying? You still deal with the same thing, like who makes the final decision. Just because you're married doesn't mean that, you sit well with it. Okay, daddy has the veto power. He's the Barack out of jail. You know, so it's still a struggle. But just the fact that you all were able to move past that as divorcees, that's to be commended. So I appreciated that comment. I mean, it's awesome. So my particular perspective, I'm not single. Duran is usually single, but I'm filling in for him. I'm married, but I can tell you that when dealing with power struggles, me and my husband, because we're one, but he always says, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. If you stay in your lane, accidents don't happen. The minute you veer off into this lane, we might have a collision. So I literally picture myself like, okay, I'm on the outbound traffic. He's on the inbound. If I cross over, we're going to have a head-to-head collision. So I would just say that has helped. Anytime we are battling, like literally battling, like, hey, this is the end, it's because we have crossed each other's lane. That's usually
it's such a blessing to have such a strong head, which you have such a strong lead, and you are the perfect balance to that lead because you don't your demeanor is not one for power. Your demeanor is one for peace and nurturing. His demeanor is one for power.
Right.
So you like, look, what I need to do, so just, you just want the house to smell like rose petals,
that's
practice,
it.
What we got to
peace.
Do. Right.
Hey, Lisa.
The struggle is real for peace
right
up
now.
In this place.
I'm about to go downstairs right now and tell her stay in her lane, and I'm going to stay in mine.
Yes. But now the key is you have to know what's your lane. And so that was our struggle. Well, what is my lane and what's your lane?
Yeah.
If you don't clearly define those lanes, it's easy for me to veer off into this lane because we haven't defined those roles and responsibilities. So, but yes, Viv, peace is my middle name. Lisa, Coker, okay.
That's
so.
No, okay,
I can't even fool. Okay.
Yeah,
but yeah, so
I
that's
love
my
it. And
perspective
when you have. And that's beautiful. When you have it, when you have a partner, when you have a mate, women with one need to appreciate that that person. Women without one need to understand their own power and their own strength and what they want to have and what they don't want to have as a responsibility. I know what I don't want to have as a responsibility. I don't even want to enter that lane. I'm clearly cool with never crossing over into that lane. Yes, sir. No bath water?
You're like, if I had just been left for the rest of this, I'm just hooking left. As long as I'm driving, just left. Left turn.
My signal only go down. My signal don't even go up.
You
had to
stay in the HOV lane with some kids.
Right. Hey, that was a good one, Jamal.
Yes,
stay in the HOV lane with some kids, and you won't have to worry about it.
Right.
You got it. Okay. Cool. All right, so. What's the latest, Jamal? What you got? What's the latest going on?
Okay. Well, CNN was reporting, VH1 was reporting. I don't know if you guys got it. But Ahmaud Real, if you guys know him from I Love New York or Real Chance of Love, he actually died. He was battled from colon cancer.
The one with all the long hair.
Oh, man.
Yes, the one with all the long hair, the one they call Real. His brother's name was Chance. He died last Saturday. He was only 33 years old. 33 years young.
33?
Yeah.
Dang.
Wow.
And if you look a while back, back when he was doing a show in 2007 is when it was around. It seemed like it was yesterday. But I think it was like maybe like two or three years ago or whatever, they were thinking that he wasn't going to make it. He was getting real sick around then, but he actually lived a little longer. He actually lived 3 years longer than what they actually anticipated.
Wow. So do you know if he was like sick on the show? I guess not. That was what, 7 or 8 years ago? Probably not.
Yeah, that was back in 2007. And you know what? You know what's so crazy is what they say about cancer. Most people, believe it or not, there's people who live with cancer in them right now and don't even know it. The cancer doesn't show any signs. It doesn't show any signs, and it does not affect them. But they said as soon as you find out that you have cancer, it's when everything hits you. There's a lady who went to the hospital who's been living with cancer for the longest. She was doing everything you could think of, healthy, fit. She was doing like different competitions and everything. And she went in for a routine checkup and found out that she had stage 4 cancer and died the next day.
Wow.
And been living with it.
Wow.
And been living. They said what kills you the most and fastest is finding out that you have cancer.
The stress of knowing, probably.
Because it defeats you. You let it defeat you as soon as you hear it.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's
sad. He was young.
Very. He was cute, too.
Yeah, he
was.
I mean, I was like, dang.
He was. I was like, yeah. Right. Dang. And straight.
Yeah.
33 handsome and straight.
Oh, there we go. No.
And go.
Moving on.
Okay.
You see what we value. No, I'm just playing.
Exactly.
Okay, so...
Bingo. Hello.
Okay. So,
he has a brother.
Okay, go ahead, Lisa.
All right. So, tomorrow, what's the latest? I want to talk about the Oscars. So, I watched the Oscars. I really only watch it for, like, the top 5 categories, and that's, like, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, Best Film, and then Because Glory from Selma, the soundtrack that John Legend and Common, that they produced and sang for Selma, because that was in the running, I was interested in the best soundtrack, okay? So anyway, so I just wanted to do a recap. I have not watched any of the movies that were in the running. The only one that I've seen is Selma. And so I was appreciative that Common in them that they won. But anyway, so the best actor award winner was Eddie Redmayne, and he was in the movie Theory of Everything. And I don't know if you all watched it. Did you all get a chance to watch it or watch any clips or anything?
What, the Oscars?
Yeah.
No, black people,
people don't. So it's okay. I was about to say, it's okay. It's not
we don't watch the Oscars.
It's not the AMH. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so do tell, Lisa. Do tell the highlights.
Okay.
All I know
so
is
Eddie
John Legend and then more.
John
Legend
and Common.
They won.
That's all I know.
Right.
They won. They put on an awesome performance. If you all watched it, they had the bridge from Selma out on the stage, like the theatrics and everything behind that performance was thebomb.com. Okay, but anyway, so the main actors, the best actor award winner was Eddie Redmayne. He's a British actor, and he was basically like a quadriplegic in the movie. So, as they show the award winners or the nominees, they show the performance, you know, the best performance of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I saw that clip, chances are he's going to win because he really looked very ill. He was in a wheelchair, you know, so he looked like he deserved it. Anyway, Julianne Moore, who's been an actress forever, she finally picked up the Best Actress Award for the movie Steel Alice, and she was playing a person who has Alzheimer's. So they said that she did really well portraying that. Birdman, the dark comedy, won the best film. Wait, I'm still going. Y'all need to play the Oscar music on me if I need to stop, okay? Y'all need to play some claps or the bell ringing or something, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to that bell for those claps. Okay. All right, well, let me hold it up. I want to thank my mom.
Okay.
It's her birthday. It's a shout out to my mom. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Birthday to my mom.
I thank God, and I thank the Academy. All right, next segment. Let's go. Right. All right.
Y'all are crazy. You know what, Lisa, the Oscars, that was a great one because John Legend and Common. I saw Common's speech or acceptance speech or whatever. I saw a portion of it, and it was so moving. He's so deep. He's always been deep, but he's so deep.
That brother is
just deep. But I think we got to pay some bills, so we got to go ahead and take it to the break. So if you want to call in, if you're on the line already, press 1 if you want to speak to us, or if you need the number, it's 347-324-5098. If you like the music on today's show, go to hoopersingradio.com to get more information about it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to It's a Hooper Thing radio show. Okay, I'm Lisa. I'm going to talk about sports. So I just have a quick story regarding sports. I just found out that Miami Heat player, I think he's a power forward, Chris Bosh, is hospitalized. And so he's out for the rest of the season. He has blood clots in his lungs. And so
they say that
a lot of the athletes will get blood clots. Like, say, for instance, they have surgery on their knee or, you know, on a different ligament, that the blood clots can travel up to their lungs. And so what's ironic or what's kind of scary is that a 52-year-old retired basketball player just died from this same illness. So he had surgery, a blood clot traveled up to his lungs or to his heart, and then he passed away. So they're taking this very seriously. They have put him out for the rest of the season. He's a dad. He's a husband. I follow his wife on social media, so the story was kind of, you know, touching to me. But they are really just kind of, you know, his family is praying for him. And so his kids are always at the hospital. They do post stuff on social media. But Heats has said, the Heats owner has said that they put him out for the rest of the season, that they're just going to let him rest, that his health is the number one priority at this point. And so the team will do without him for the rest of the season. So just keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. His name is Chris Bosh. He won all the rings with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. He's a star player, and he's a dad, and he's a husband.
I remember when I was there that year they won a couple of years ago. He looks so sweet. He looks so nice.
He is. He seems like such a loving, you know, dad and husband. So regardless of that, we still don't want him to
He's a mediocre basketball player for an okay team.
but his wife plays the part. I mean, she represents for Team Bosh, for Family Bosh.
She does.
One thing
I will say about basketball, just real quick, is basketball is one of the hardest sports on your body. You're constantly running up and down the court. And most of those players have knee surgery by the time they hit the early 30s. And you know, once you have one knee surgery, you're prone to get another one. If you look at basketball, look at football, look at the way they age. People age faster playing basketball than what they do football. Football players live a lot longer than what basketball players do. They don't have as many as surgeries, if you believe it or not. They don't have as many surgeries as basketball players.
Oh, wow.
Look how old LeBron looks now. He just turned, what, 30?
But LeBron came in the league looking like a grown man at 17. Like, who comes in looking like they're 30? Like, really, we can't use LeBron. We got to use somebody else.
Girl, when you come from the Midwest.
Well, okay, look at every big player.
You're putting that time in at 2 degrees below zero. You get crispy,
hey,
you get cold.
That cold water will crack that skin real quick, put that hairline back, a number of things from that weather.
But you know what? Look at all the basketball players. They're all like over 6-something-foot, and they, every time when they get done playing, they walk over. You look at them, they slumped over, like they walk like they're hunchback. You know, they don't stand right up no more. They always hunch over. So, but moving on to the next segment, we got rants and raves.
All right, so I have a huge rant. Like, this is driving me crazy. So I drive an SUV, and it's like 4 years old, and it's considered like a luxury SUV, right? So my thing is, if I take my car in to get like an oil change or something very routine, I can count on me pulling out of that driveway or that service station and one of my headlights going out. And I'm like, are they back there just playing around with the truck? Or do they want me to come back? And just, do they know that I'm not going to check the light bulb? Like, they're like, yeah, Ms. Coker, be right back. Let's make this $150 off. I'm not understanding why my light bulbs keep going off. So I'll be ratchetmom.com and ride with my signal out, okay? Because I'm like, no, I'm not going back to the station. So I'm just going to have my, you know, I'm just going to not have a right signal, okay? Because I'm bending left. Remember, Viv? I'm bending left.
Right. I ain't even got to make
it. But
anyway,
right. I don't even need that light bulb.
I don't need
anyway,
it in my life.
So, but
my
if I do
right.
that, if I do that, if I'm ratchetmom.com for a week, then my headlight goes out. So now I'm out here looking really just bold and illegal in the night
driving
with my headlights. So the one
just
eye
illegal.
Bend,
you're just
right.
illegal.
Yes. Yes, just ratchet. But anyway, so that's my rant. Like, get your life together with these light bulbs, Lisa. Anyway, what is my rave? I don't even know what my rave is after all that. Oh, okay. So my rave is this has been such a blessing. So after I just went ham on the headlights, let me tell you about my rave. My rave is I bought a devotional. It's a daily devotional. It's called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. But it has been such a blessing to me. So every morning I get up, I read it. It gives you references to the Bible. So everything that she says in her devotional, she'll give you, you know, two or three scriptures just to kind of go by for the day. But if you all are looking for a devotional, I would recommend that. If that's something you all want to get into, just kind of have some solitude, 15, 20 minutes in the morning. That's it. That's my rave. That's my rant. Love y'all.
Okay. I'm going to have to check out Sarah Young. Okay, I put that down on my book list. My rant, and it drives me batty. Okay, so we've had an ice storm in Dallas. Well, we had rain, and then it froze over in Dallas. So we've been pretty much cabin fever, 48 hours in the house, and it's been crazy. So I played games on my cell phone because I got tired of reading books. So my rant is, it'll say free game. You know, I'm happy chef and, you know, bubble busting or whatever. I don't know. I'm doing something and you're getting all these levels. You're clearing the levels and then it says to continue, buy for $3.99. Well, you said you were free. So I just don't like that because I got to go uninstall the game and then reinstall the game so I can just play the same levels that I played already because I'm not paying $3.99 for something that you said going to be free. Yes, really. That's what I do. So.
So false advertisement got you, huh?
Yes, I don't like it. Well, my rave is I'm reading an Eckhart Tolle book, and he's some, you know, hippy-dippy self-help and always trying to reflect back to myself. So Lisa had a good book, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, and then this one is Practicing the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And this little, he talks about watching out for any kind of defensiveness within yourself. So what are you defending? It's an illusionary identity, an image in your mind, a fictitious entity. You know, stop being so defensive. What are you defending? You know, drop it. Stop being so
Take
your gloves off, put the duke down. And in the light of your consciousness, the unconscious pattern will then quickly dissolve. So you'll stop being so defensive when you identify the fact that you are defensive. and then you'll decide to stop it. So, especially for women, it softens it up, you know, softens it up a little bit.
What's the name of that again?
That one is Practicing the Power of Now, Essential Teachings, Meditations, and Exercises by Eckhart Tolle.
All right.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. So my rant is I have a hamster named Mr. Porkchop. He has been literally loose in the house for over a week and a half. I thought maybe he would have died, but 5 o'clock in the morning 2 days ago, my lovely wife decides to wake me up out of a dead sleep. Her eyes are wide open, big as they can be. Mr. Porkchop is alive, and he's running around the house. I can't find my shoe, and oh, by the way, can you go outside and start the car? It's snowing. Oh, out of a dead sleep. You know how mad you would get out of a dead sleep.
Yes,
so
yes.
He has been. But Mr. Porkchop is running around, and he's a thug now. He used to be a loving pet, but he ain't loving no more. Like, he used to come to you. He runs the other way. He, goes around here. He's eating. He done got big. I think he's doing sit-ups underneath the dishwasher. Seriously.
Mr. Porkchop trying to take over.
He is. He really is. He's done got smart. He done come around. You said what?
I said, so did you find Mr. Porkchop? Is that what you said? You found
him? Yeah, he's downstairs. He doesn't need to be back. He comes out when he wants to. This is his house.
He's not going back in the cave.
No, he's not. And I'm going to leave him here in his place. I'm going to leave him
here. No, when you leave, he gonna come hop in the back seat of the car like, hold up.
Hey, and all I need him is put $5 in the gas tank.
Hey, he's going to be at the steering wheel. Remember that little Toyota Scion commercial with the hamsters?
Yeah, he's
talking about the Kias.
Yes,
the Kias.
The Kias.
Yeah.
He's
hey,
looking
if you pull up over your house, Lisa, it ain't us. Mr. Porkchop took over. Hey, but my rave is it's finally getting financial goals set up, because I never did it, never thought about it. I was always told keep a little money in your pocket, but I'm actually I found a book. I think his name is David. I forget the last name, but he's like a financial guru, and he tells you
Dave
that you
Ramsey?
Should have an emergency fund. Dave Ramsey, thank you so much. You just gave life to my story. Dave Ramsey, you should have at least $1,000 in emergency fund. But also, when you're a homeowner and you got bills and anything happens, you should at least have 6 months of bill money saved up. So if something happens, whether if your wife get pregnant or you get laid off, whatever, you need to be able to survive for 6 months off the money you've been saving. So you need to learn how to pay yourself first before you do anything. Because if you don't, you'll be without a paddle. So that's
right. That's a good one. All right, staying in your lane, leading your family into financial prosperity, freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, does anybody else have anything else? Because I think we're almost at the end.
Right.
It's all over. Not
too
soon.
No, I don't have anything. I'd like to ask for thoughts and prayers for a business that my husband started up. I'm going to put a plug because I like peace. But anyway, so I'd like thoughts and prayers. My husband started a business. So just keep him in your prayers. Keep him lifted. Keep him strong. And keep pushing forward. Any obstacles he comes across, just do God's will. That's all we ask. So,
hey, I have something to add to that.
That's my latest. Okay, go ahead.
I had a dream about that. Last night, I had a dream, and it was revealed to me, and he got the deal. It came through.
Awesome. Awesome.
The business came
through.
I had that same dream about Chris, and her thing came through for her.
All right.
Okay, well,
tonight
when you go to sleep, I need you to dream about me tonight. Don't take that the wrong way. But I need you to call me tomorrow and tell me that it's coming.
I'm scared.
Through. I got it. I know.
Right.
I believe you.
Yes.
You anointed. Ain't nobody playing. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you to Minister Paula for the word of the week on today's show. And thank you, Lisa, for guest hosting today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back.
It's good to have you.
So
thank you so much.
We have to get you back again. Go to our website, HooperThingRadio.com or blogtalkradio.com/HooperThing to listen to past shows. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram, and make sure you tell